Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a message from the series, God is Love. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
Turn with me, please, to the scripture we've looked at already, 1 John chapter 4 and Gospel account of John chapter 13. How many have not been with us in any of the previous sessions that we've taught this week? Okay, we'll review just a little bit. The Lord has stirred me up from months past, saying to me in many different ways and times, that I and many others had not emphasized His love. That we are not to teach love like it's another subject. We don't just teach healing and prosperity and believer's authority and righteousness and love. Because God is love. And our faith works by love. Amen. And the operation of all these things is from the work and effect of love. Redemption is, and Jesus is love manifest in the flesh. And that we are to emphasize it more and come back to this and in our teaching on faith and righteousness and healing and every other thing, we're to have one foot and one hand strongly holding on to love while we endeavor to minister the other. And let it be the hub, let it be the foundation of all that we do and teach. And in pursuing this and teaching this, I see that it's, and it's no wonder the Lord is saying this, because we, in general, in the body of Christ, are very ignorant of love compared to what there is to be known about it. And it's one of those things that you think you know something about it until you start learning. And you think, oh man. And so that's what we've been pursuing this week. To understand the love of God. Amen. To yield to the love of God. And to see the love of God manifested. In 1 John 4, verse 7. 1 John 4. Verse 7 says, Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. I want you to say that last phrase out loud a couple of times. For God is love. Say it again, please. God is love. Once again, God is love. We've suggested that you, in your speaking and reading and study and prayer and talking about God, that you substitute for the word God the word love. And it'll open up a whole realm of things to you. When you read a scripture and you see the word God, substitute the word love. You won't be doing any harm to the scriptures, will you? God is love. When you say God heals, you just said what?
Love
heals. And you can see how that when Jesus saw the sick, He was moved with compassion toward them and healed them. Love healed them. Amen. Well, we know it was their faith that received the healing, but we also know that faith, according to Galatians, faith works, operates by love. Amen. And the answer to why a lot of things haven't been as they should comes back to a failure to understand and develop love. In this same chapter here, he talks about that perfect love casts out fear. So anytime we see an area of fear in our life, what do we know is the problem? A lack of an understanding and believing and receiving the love that God is toward us. When you know how much He loves you, you know He's going to take care of you. Amen? When you know how much He loves you, you know He's going to provide for you. Don't you? When you know how much He loves you, you know it is His will to heal you and to make you whole and to make you strong. To doubt God is to doubt His love. Isn't it? To not trust God is to doubt and not trust His love. And it's a serious charge, and it's why unbelief is so serious, and why unbelief is a sin. Now, we've gone into a number of areas talking about love. We talked about how that most people, everybody on the planet, lives by either the law of the flesh or the law of Christ. The law of flesh is that you live for yourself. You try to make you happy. And that's where many people are at. Many Christians included. But that is not the path to fulfillment and happiness and joy. You can do everything that you think your heart desires. You can have every possession. You can have the position. You can have the associations and the contact and the titles. And as soon as the new wears off, you'll find that there's still an emptiness. You cannot make you happy by trying to make you happy. It doesn't work. Didn't Jesus say, if you try to hold on to your life and if you pursue your own life, what'll happen? You'll lose it. Try as you might, it slips through your fingers like sand. Oh, but if you'll lay down your life, amen, for the Lord, for the gospel's sake, for the brethren, then you'll truly find it. And it is in this giving life. The giving life is the fulfilling life. Amen? The sacrificial life, though it doesn't sound like it, is the soul-satisfying life. But the selfish life is the narrow life. It's the joyless life. You see people all the time, you know, spend all their money and tear up their equipment and make themselves sick and everything, trying to have a good time. You ever seen that? And won't succeed. But true joy and satisfaction comes in being used of God to touch another. The law of Christ, Galatians 6, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When you are used of God to help through the anointing, to get a yoke off somebody or to get a burden off somebody, that gives you a joy that nothing else can give you. Amen. But you'll have to sacrifice in some things. You'll have to, you know, spend your money on the things of God instead of something else. And you'll have to put God first and put your stuff on the back burner and wait. And you'll have to be inconvenienced at times. And it'll take time and it'll take effort. But oh, when you see the smile on somebody's face, when you see that heaviness lifted off of their brow, when you see somebody come to Jesus, when you see them get filled with the Spirit, when you see them get rid of that pain and get healed, it's worth any effort. I mean, it's just light affliction. Amen? To see somebody get helped and somebody get ministered to. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Go with me over, please, to John, where you're holding your place now. Gospel account of John in the 13th chapter. He said in chapter 13, 34, he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. This is the New Testament commandment. This is the distinguishing mark of a true Christian. He didn't say it was by our miracles that they would know that we're His. He didn't say it was by us quoting Scripture. He didn't say it was by us talking in tongues. He didn't say it was by our prosperity that people would know. What did He say it would be by? By this divine love and loving one another. He's talking about you loving your Christian brother or sister. The specific application is us loving fellow Christians. And we are to love each other so well and so wonderfully that everybody that saw us would want to be one of us. Would want to join our club. Amen. Because they see what kind of treatment you get when you get in this bunch. They see how much God loves us and how much He loves us through each other. Amen. You know, you read in the book of 2 Corinthians, in the first chapter, Paul talks a lot about how he went through some tough times in his life. He talked about he was pressed beyond measure. And then he kept talking about how God comforted him, how God comforted him, and talked about He is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And he went on and on about God comforting him. But you get down about three-fourths into the chapter, and he specifies, he said, God comforted me by the coming of Titus. You don't see that initially. You're just thinking, well, God comforted him. We realize God ministered to him through a Christian brother and comforted him. Amen? He is the head, we are the body. And you know, so much of what we receive doesn't come directly from the head. It comes from the head, but it comes through other body parts. Amen. I mean, think about it. What if the hand fell out with the wrist? And he said, wrist, I'm tired of you. It's just wrist in the morning, wrist in the afternoon, wrist in the evening, and I'm just fed up with you, wrist. And the wrist said, well, that's fine by me, hand. I'm tired of you. It's always hand this and hand that and hand the other, and you get credit for everything, picking up everything and doing everything and writing everything, and I'm in the background helping you all the time. And what if the hand fell out with the wrist? It said, I'm not receiving anything else through the wrist. Would that be a problem? Does the wrist get everything it needs from the head, straight from the head through the air to the wrist? It comes from the head, but it comes through the neck, through the shoulder, through the upper arm, through the elbow, through the forearm, and through the wrist. Yes, we do receive things directly from the head. Thank God we can go boldly directly to the throne of grace. But so much of the way the Lord answers our prayers and meets our needs and comforts us and blesses us and encourages us is going to be from the head, but it's going to be through other body parts.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series, God is Love, you may call More Life Ministries at 417-334-9233. That's 417-334-9233. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelife.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Remember to join us in Sarasota, Florida on Monday, February 5th, as we begin the Greater Faith Conference. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.
Thanks be to God. Thanks to God who gives me life.